Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham, joined this evening by Matt Knight.
Hello.
Jay Cross.
Hiya.
And Joe Branton.
Good evening.
How's it going, chaps?
Morning or afternoon.
Very well.
Very well indeed.
Very well indeed.
So we're recording this on the Tuesday night before NAMM kicks off on, what, Thursday?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Have you ever been, Joe?
4 days of pure gear. No, I haven't been, Mark. Oh, you know that I haven't been, though, don't you?
Just checking.
You've been, though, haven't you?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
That's right.
Nice bit of Anaheim sunshine. To be honest, we'll talk about this in a minute, but we know about a lot of the products that are coming out.
Some that we can't talk about.
There's some that we can't talk about because
we're very cool ahead of the curve.
Indeed. This podcast comes out on Wednesday, and obviously a lot of people have set their embargo dates for Thursday, which is the first day of the show. But there has been a lot of stuff that's been announced already that we can talk about. But I'm absolutely gutted that I'm not there this year because of the lineup.
Some of the stuff that's coming out looks absolutely phenomenal. I think already we may have seen some. There's definitely some better stuff than one Gear of the Year last year. There's definitely stuff that's going to be up there.
I think the top two items for Gear of the Year are already here.
You reckon they're already here?
Two of them.
How do you know?
Nothing can be better than one of them for me personally, and for the other one, it's just such an amazing product.
Compressor pedal.
Yes.
There is a new compressor. There is a new bass compressor.
There's two new compressors.
Neither are actually the one that I'm talking about. Both are amps for guitars, the ones I'm talking about. But we'll get to that.
Yeah. I'm not into this whole we know more than you.
No, yeah. Let's just talk about it also. Everyone knows.
Before we dive into the NAMM stuff, has anyone been doing anything interesting guitar-wise this week? Has anyone played anything that they want to talk about? Matt?
I was messing around with my Pigtronics Infinity Looper to make it work like an old sound-on-sound tape machine.
Nice.
Because it's got variable tape aging. So if you record, basically, say, 3 seconds of absolute silence and then loop it around so nothing happens, but then put it in overdub mode, but then set the loop aging so you only get about 7 or 8 repeats... You got a 3 second delay basically that you can then layer on the top of, but then it gradually fades away, which is quite cool. So it's like, like proper sound on sound.
So it's like it's being recorded from the record head and then degrading. Degrading?
Yeah.
On the way around.
Degrading.
Degrading. It's getting degraded.
Degradation is a word.
Degradated. It's getting degraded as it passes through the playhead.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah.
That's a very, very neat way of doing it.
Yeah, I didn't realize that was a thing, because I always think the Infinity Looper is like, and a lot of the kind of the Pigtronic stuff is like quite clean, and I find it surprising that they've got like a feature like that.
Well, actually, it's quite cool because you can vary it via expression pedal, so you can have it so your expression pedal, when it's all the way down, only gives you one repeat, or when you push it all the way forward, it gives you infinite repeats. So you can actually kind of like loop stuff and then like it fade away, and you can kind of modulate and do different things. And then when you find something you want to loop, you just push the pedal forward and it will just keep it looping round and round. So that's kind of cool. So I've been messing around with that to see if I can do it, do some sort of like more sort of like ambient stuff and like loop keyboards and drums and stuff around with it as well. So that's been quite cool. And then I've just been thinking about, should I just start another pedal board with all the stuff that's coming out? I'm just like, I can't get rid of anything because I like everything now. I just need more space. Maybe I should buy like a pedal train Terra or learn how to weld and just start my own massive pedal board.
I don't think you want a pedal train Terra. I think if you were going to do anything, you'd want a second pedal board rather than having everything.
You don't want everything on one. You want team A, team B. Oh.
Yeah, that's true. And team C and and maybe D.
And beyond.
Yes. And yes. Beyond. How about you guys? Have you been doing anything this week guitar related?
J Cross? No?
Shall I go? Yeah, you go.
I've done some stuff. Okay. I mean, a lot of the stuff does relate towards new stuff, because of course some new stuff we've been able to get our hands on.
I'm holding people off.
Okay. Well, I'll hold off from those things momentarily, except for one of those things I will say about, because I noticed it's not in the list that we're talking about, so I will talk about it because I think something.
Is it something that we can talk about?
It's definitely something we can talk about.
Are you 100% sure?
I'm 100% sure.
Are you going to get us in trouble?
No.
Are you going to get me in trouble?
No, it's on the website of the company I work for.
Okay, fine.
So
go on then.
I mean, I actually was the one who uploaded it, so I sure as hell hope. a couple of things. You know, I was thinking about getting one of those Marcus Miller basses.
Oh yeah,
the Sire.
Oh, cool. Yes, yeah. The V7. I was thinking about getting. Well,
let me guess. You've changed your mind.
I'm PRS are sending me one of their PRS Kestrel basses.
Okay. That's a name I've not heard for a long time.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of my friends, Luke Taff, recently got a PRS. Yeah. He's got one of the, what's the single cut called?
The SE245?
No. The
McCarty?
No.
That's not a single cut.
No. That's a double cut. Oh, is it? Oh, maybe.
No, the Myra is a single cut.
Yeah, thank you.
No, it's the double cut.
Oh, yeah, the Starler's the single cut, isn't it?
Oh, right. Maybe he definitely got the Miro Myra, so it must be a double cut. But anyway, you know, he was just saying how good it was. And I was like, you know what? They are a great brand. And I was thinking, I always go for like the vintage stuff, but it'd be cool to have something that's just like really, really well built. And that was sort of, I think, what I was looking for in the Sire.
I literally can't believe that you're saying this.
Right. So anyway.
Joe, you're never going to play it. You'll sell it.
No, but they do a Kestrel, which is like a jazz bass. It's got a scratch plate. You know, it's passive, two single coils. They do it in like a two-tone sunburst with a black plate. It looks nice and classic, and it's a through neck construction and through body strung as well.
How much are you getting paid to switch your beliefs so rapidly?
No. Well, come
on. Anything like it?
I really backed up PRS in Gear of the Year.
You did, actually. You're correct. You did.
I think I'm coming around to them. So they're going to send me one, and I'm going to see if I like it and maybe buy it.
Okay, good. Well, I await that, because that is not what I was expecting you to say that you've been doing this week at all.
We will see. But more importantly, I've been thinking I should buy a guitar.
Okay.
Mainly because you know, I've got like a guitar amp, and I've only got like a bass six, which is...
It is a guitar. Yeah. We've established
that. But the only way I can play it through a guitar amp is to like capo it on the seventh fret and play it like a baritone. So I was like, man, I should buy a guitar. So I was thinking I was going to get one of the Epiphone ES175s. They do them with like Gibson pickups.
Cool guitar.
Yeah.
Great guitar. I was thinking about that. And then I was thinking, maybe it's not versatile enough. So I was thinking maybe a Vintmod Jaguar or Jazzmaster. They're super cool. But then... Gretsch just announced a whole load of new stuff at NAMM. Yeah. Oh my good lord.
I did actually see this today and completely forgot to put it on our running order.
Well,
for
then
evening.
I am glad I mentioned it.
Tell us about it.
So they've released a whole new range of stuff, all you know, very catchily named G2 and then another range of numbers afterwards. But basically a range of stuff, mostly 90% of it comes with Bigsby's. in amazing colours, like Torino green and like Flagstaff sunset and...
Oh, is that what that is? Yeah, I saw that and I couldn't work out what colour it was. No wonder it was a Flagstaff sunset.
Yeah, they do like... There's like walnut stains and there's some weird sort of lighter colour. I think they've got a gold dust, which is almost like a light green. It's so good. And basically, all with Bigsby's, all like £379 for everything in the range, except for like they do... One that I think is like a smaller body double cut hardtail, and I think that's 339, and everything else is 379. It's unbelievable.
It's going back to the pre-Electromatic days, isn't it? Because they had a similar price range of guitars like, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, and then they scrapped them all and did the Electromatics, and then they've kind of gone back to that, which I think is good because a lot of people want a Gretsch, but when you look at the Electromatics, you're like, oh, that is a great guitar for £700. Most people go, well, you know, I only want to spend £300, and it sort of enters the realm of the lower priced Epiphones and some of the Squires.
Yeah,
they call it the Streamliner series.
Streamliners,
that's right.
So these look super cool. Chinese built rather than Korean built.
That's right, Chinese built. There's even a left-handed model,
but they're still really. Yeah, that's awesome. But they're still like the same sort of semi-hollow construction.
So still the same like semi-hollow. So they do a smaller body double cut, which comes with a center block, and they do like a larger bodied single cut, which all of them look absolutely remarkable.
The thing is it's mad. Like I'm so glad that they're doing it. And again, I think this comes back to these companies sort of listening to what people want, as opposed to just like making stuff and hoping that it sells. Do you know what I mean? Like this is just, people have been crying out for like this Streamliner, the 2655. The 2655.
Oh, I'm looking at the same one.
Oh, look at that. There we go.
Oh, my goodness. We had absolutely the same taste.
Oh, there we go. Apart from anything, you guys. It's got a Bigsby on it.
Yeah. Like,
if you wanted a guitar with a Bigsby that was this sort of size for this sort of price, you had to buy like an Epiphone 339, for example.
Yeah.
And then spend £100 on a Bigsby, and then probably spend another £100 having the Bigsby fitted.
Absolutely.
Look so cool. 100%. This is brilliant. Are they diamond pickups as
they're
well?
They're certainly diamond looking pickups, aren't they?
Yeah.
Honestly, they're called
Broadtrons.
They're still going to be good.
Yeah.
And like the oversized block inlays, like everything about this must be the most unique guitar you can get for under £400 by a long way. I mean, if we don't see two or three of these in Mr. Wilson's collection by by the time these come out, I'd be very, very surprised.
They've in terms of things that have been released today, or you know, things that have been released in the kind of run up to NAMM, they've kind of gone under the radar a little bit, because I think, you know, it's obviously on the cheaper end, it's not a kind of showcase piece, but actually I kind of think they're one of the more interesting things.
Oh, definitely.
Like that one there.
We're looking at the Gold Dust, the Streamliner, the G242OT,
which is
a Bigsby in Gold Dust.
Single cut, Bigsby, again, those Broadtrons. That looks really good.
We would be having the same conversation if these were $799.
Yeah,
100%.
Or 849. We'd be saying, what great guitars Gretsch have brought out. But the fact is, I'm looking at this like jazz box Gretsch in Gold Dust with a Bigsby, and it's £379.
I mean, we haven't played them yet, but I'm assuming the quality's always been good on the Vox, on the Gretsch line.
Yeah, I've played them.
Oh, have you? What's the verdict?
Yeah, they're really good.
Okay.
Because they're in stock now. I think they're kind of like a pre-NAMM sort of, we're not really shouting about it, but when everyone sees them at NAMM, we'll talk about it some more. But yeah, they're actually, like I said, that's why I really feel they kind of hark back to the pre-Electromatics, because they're awesome guitars for the money, and they still really sound like a Gretsch, but the humbuckers they've put in them are full size.
Yeah.
So you could easily replace the pickups if you wanted. So they've made it kind of
nice,
moddable in that sense as well.
The pickups do look phenomenal.
Hence the Broadtron name, probably. If they're full width, I guess that's the...
That makes sense.
Yeah.
They look cool. You know what I hope this kind of leads to? Imagine if they ended up doing a budget Synchromatic.
The Jazzer. The single neck pickup.
The flat wound. Come strung up with flat wound. I think they're 13s.
Yep.
Oh my God. That sounds like the perfect guitar.
That guitar was amazing.
They did a cheaper Tim Armstrong. Because people love those, and they were £1,200, and you think, well,
they
actually,
weren't
they're
that much, were they? Yeah, they were. Yeah. I thought they were just over a grand.
No,
I
mean, no one who likes Rancid has £1,200.
They do that. That's the thing, because everyone's like in their 40s and they're now like bank managers. So yeah, they probably do.
They have to, like, it's really difficult to cover up that PUNX that they've got tattooed on their knuckles.
Yeah. But, bank managers with mohawks. Yeah, crazy, crazy times.
But no, those guitars were great, and I think even if I guess I'm sure Mr. Armstrong would have something to say about this, but even if they did one of these guitars in that matte finish,
oh my goodness,
that'd be good.
Imagine. I mean, the finishes are great, like every finish in this budget line. They could have released these in Sunburst black, white and red, and we'd still be saying that they're great guitars.
Yeah,
the fact that they're in...
British don't tend to do that, though, do they? Because, you know, a lot...
Salmon
you...
Pink. Well, whatever it was, Man Salmon.
Man Salmon. I mean, you look at... But even on the more popular, the more sort of bread and butter lines... You know, look at a 5420. The colours you can get that in are Sunburst, orange, so like, you know, the Chet orange, or black. And then when you've got the, so that's fairly safe. But then when you go to the centre block models, you can only get it in black, whatever the red is, ruby red, and the green colour, not aspen green.
The other one.
The other green, I can't remember the name of, Cadillac green.
Yeah.
So, you know, and they do aspen green, they do for the 5422s, they do the walnut stain, the man salmon. You know, I think Gretsch, and that doesn't even include on the Chinese models. You know, you've got on the solid block one, the solid colour ones, you've got all the sparkle finishes that they do. You know, I think Gretsch are one of these companies that actually don't play it safe.
Yeah,
with colours. And so it's not that surprising to see all of these guitars in different finishes. I think it's really, really cool. And I think it's something that people do tend to have an issue with with someone like Fender or with Gibson. And even to a lesser extent, Ibanez and ESP.
Yeah.
Or not ESP, but LTD. You know, a lot of the guitars are in safe colours. And, you know, you can always argue, yeah, of course you can get it in whatever colour you want. You just... You just got to get a custom shop one.
Yeah.
But, you know, with Gretsch, you don't have to do that, and I think it's very refreshing.
Well, Joe, your tale of the new Gretsch has helped us segue nicely into news.
Nude.
From Nam. Nude at Nam. That'd be terrifying. If there was one place where I would definitely not want to be nude, it'd be on the show floor at Nam. There's a lot of people there, and it would be terrifying.
Yeah,
I don't want to be nude at Nam.
Looking through your news, you've missed something off, which I might want to raise.
He's missed a couple of things off that I'm going to miss.
Is it something we can talk about?
It is something we can talk about.
Why don't we kick off with the thing that you want to raise then, Matt?
I want to raise the Gig Rig Autopot.
Oh, yes.
Of course, I did see
Mate,
this.
Mate, how weird and cool is this?
How bonkers is that? Yeah, they haven't really said much about it. So as far as I can tell, it's a MIDI-controlled... Like, I suppose it adds MIDI to anything that's analog.
Of course,
so
it's MIDI control. Matt's talking about it.
Got MIDI. It's so
I'm telling you, those t-shirts are on the way,
mate. It's MIDI Meccano.
It is MIDI Meccano.
That's what it is. That's what it.
I mean,
done.
It's basically. It's so weird because it doesn't actually control anything digital. It's basically controlling a small screw that you then put on any pot on any pedal, and then you can then use basically MIDI. CC 0 to 127 to digitally control any pedal. I mean, that's pretty nuts. By the looks of it, you can do up to 3 as well. So you could, like...
3
use
knobs?
An expression. Yeah, I think so. You can basically... one box will allow... I've got a feeling you've got to... Because he said it's about £289, and I don't know if that's just for the box or whether that comes with the things that go on it as well. They haven't really released much info, but the fact is that, I mean, it's... pretty nuts that you can do that. I mean, that opens up a whole world for kind of MIDI switches and stuff like that.
It reminds me, there was an Electro-Harmonix pedal, wasn't there, from like the 70s or something, that was like a wah pedal housing that was connected to like a little cable that you could put on a pot that would turn it.
There was a company for a long time called Third Hand, and they made an expression pedal that basically had a mechanical screw on it that basically went on, like, you know, any pot on any other pedal. I can see it being, I don't know, I suppose it is practical in a way, but I don't know. It's I almost think because it's mechanical, it feels like there's too much that could go wrong.
I'm sure it won't. I mean, we know about the kind of the quality of the gig rig stuff. I'm sure whatever they've come up with will be built to last and probably heavily tested, I'd imagine. But,
I mean, how good on things like, I don't know, like an Echoplex or something like that, where, you know, oh, I really like it turned all the way up, but sometimes with certain pedals, I want it like, you know.
Roll it back a
bit. Yeah. Yeah. Like, you can do all of that. You know,
it's very, very smart. Like the video the video they've put up is them playing a rat with it,
yeah.
And you know, showing off the differences between the you know, going from your sort of your standard rhythm sound where the drive is a little bit lower and the volume's a little bit higher, and then kicking in your lead sound where they just ramp up the drive, ramp up that.
I've not watched the video yet.
The video is incredibly impressive. It looks amazing. My only concern, I've got a couple of concerns with it, is one, I mean, first of all, I have no idea about how the technology or anything of it works, but
unsurprising.
But the thing is, it does look a little bit like Meccano. I mean, I know it's proper metal and it's designed specifically for this.
Yeah.
It's probably the sort of thing that where we could end up seeing some copycats.
Okay.
And also it is a lot of money for what it is.
How much are they?
£289.
Okay.
I think that allows you to control three parameters, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, a lot of the gig rig stuff is modular, so I mean, it could be that you only get one and then you can buy others. I really don't know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it'd be quite good on something like a Soul Food where people are using it as a boost, as a treble boost, and as an overdrive pedal.
Yeah, but the thing is that for the price of buying that, you could buy three Soul Foods.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't put that, you necessarily put all that on your pedal.
No, board, of course, I know. I'm being facetious, obviously.
I don't know. I'd love to just try one and see how it works.
Definitely. So you mentioned there was a couple of bits that we've missed off this list. What else have you spotted?
That was the main one. But Joe, did you say you spotted something that wasn't on there?
Oh, it's just a classic. I feel that often we tend to, because of our roots in classic, more classic instruments,
general rock,
more traditional instruments. we miss off some of the more modern brands. So there's been a couple of really exciting things from Ibanez.
There has. They're on the list.
Are they?
At the bottom.
Oh, no. No.
Well, when we get to the Ibanez bit,
okay,
let's talk about the new Ibanez stuff. So should we dive into this list of new things?
That's how little Mark cares. He actually fobbed me off so he could talk about things he cares about.
No,
it's fine.
Okay, what else were you going to mention?
No, that's all right. Let's do this brand specific.
Well, at the end, when we've got down this list, if there's anything you think I've missed, then let's bring it up then.
Oh, man, Matt, good. I can't... Why are you all the way in London? Come and hang out here so I don't have to put up with these two...
I'm just...
this married couple
I'm
squabbling.
Trying to keep this kind of wrangled in.
I can't imagine Joe and Mark as a couple living in a house. I can't see it.
It sounds like hell.
Absolute hell. You know, one's all about the P bass and the Mark bass, and one's all about PRS basses and an ever-changing line of amplifiers.
I mean, when you put it like that, who's the cooler guy?
No, okay.
P-bass and a good chunky Mark bass one,
or great P-bass.
P-bass or PRS and
there is nothing good about Mark bass.
There is, there is. It's the best bass amp. Anyway, let's dive into this list. So, new stuff from Boss and Roland, as we'd expected. They've got a whole plethora of new things. Gear of the Year winners last year. And they've kind of...
Begrudgingly.
It was a worthy winner.
Sorry, did I say that out loud? I apologise.
Well deserved.
And it's now ratcheted up another notch for 2016. First up, following the success, the kind of unmitigated success of the ES8,
yeah.
Boss have introduced the ES5.
Absolutely brilliant. Right. Exactly what they
Big
needed
time.
To do.
So Matt, what's the deets?
So as far as I know, exactly the same controls as the ES8, but it's not stereo, so it's mono out. Still got all the MIDI. I have five loops, five buttons, still got all the same amount of presets.
I think there are some limitations with what you can do with an amplifier, with switching for an amp
I think, as I said, I think it's only mono. So I don't think there's any, there's only one output. And I don't know how many control jack outs it's got. So I don't know it, what it's like in terms of maybe setting up for channel switching.
I believe it's got the same amount of jack outs on the back, but it is just, it is mono. It's not stereo.
But it's funny because I was talking to some people at work today, and so many people were like, actually, I'd much rather have this because I'm just not going to run a stereo rig because...
That's weird.
Unlike me, you know, they're actually going out and playing gigs.
Hold on. Did you just say you were talking to people about this today? Because whilst we're recording this, these products are embargoed.
Yeah, people at work. People, his colleagues.
Right, okay, fine.
I know you don't have any friends at work anymore, but...
None, you guys are not.
So, I agree. So for someone who's going out and doing gigs, like you say, they're kind of unlikely, if you're not in a ridiculous band, to run a stereo rig. And if you want something that's actually going to fit on a, you know, a giggable pedal board, the ES5 seems to be a better option.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know what the price point is yet, but I mean, what are the ES8s again? 479? So what, they're going to be 350?
Like, I think yeah, I mean, it'll be 349, 369, 379, something like that.
My only problem with it is that, I mean, that sounds like a lot of money to control five pedals. I was proved wrong by someone at work today who, a colleague, not a customer.
Not a friend, certainly.
who pointed out, if you need to go from, like, a big driven sound where you might use... you know, a couple of pedals to build your drive sound to a clean reverb tone, that is quite a lot of tap dancing.
Yes,
obviously, which, and I guess it just depends on how cleanly you want to do this sort of thing, because that tap dancing still for me has always seemed like part of the skill. Like, you know, if you can't play a particular chord, you don't buy like a pad that you can press on those strings to allow you to play that chord. Yeah, but you know, you just try harder, you know.
But if you record something and, you know, you're doing it in the studio where you're changing things that you're not doing live, but then you want to recreate that live, that's what allows you to do it.
And, you know, I guess a common sound would be something like an envelope filter, an octave down and a fuzz to go from, like, I'm thinking about maybe like bass, to go from... just a regular sound to something that sounds massive. You know, you might go auto wah, octave down and fuzz. To turn all three of those on at the kind of the beat that bar comes in is quite a difficult thing to do.
True. It depends how cleanly you want to do it. I mean, I turn three pedals on and off at a time, and that doesn't seem like a big deal.
It doesn't seem
like something I'd spend £379
I can see you getting one of these in the end.
Maybe.
Because you've got so many pedals, and this is, you still get all the freedom to do all the things you're doing with single pedals. You just don't have to do the ridiculous tap dancing. That's what this is allowing you to do.
Yeah, I know. I just like the tap dancing. It emphasises that what you've got is really complicated.
It'll go perfectly with your PRS bass, Joe.
Yeah. All right, look, I haven't bought a PRS bass yet. I'm just trying one out. Is it a bad idea? Should I look for
someone? No, I think when they released those, I actually thought they looked okay.
Actually, maybe the Kingfisher bass is all right if you want a double humbucker bass.
No, the Kingfisher is horrible. What are you talking about? I can't think of anything less astute than PRS bringing out a bass that looks like Mark King could have played it. Like, yeah, brilliant. Loads of people trying to do that these days.
Yeah, Mark Kingfisher. You know the one.
Mark Kingfisher. Yes. So, next up on the Roland release list, the Roland Blues Cube Hot.
Oh, my God.
Joe Branson, tell us about it.
I heard this today.
Okay.
Did you?
Yeah. This is it. This is the one. This is Gear of the Year 2016. I'll call it now.
Is this the Blues Junior killer? Will the almighty Blues Junior finally be toppled from its perch?
So they do this. They're releasing this in black with a silver Tolex. I look like Fender, and they're releasing it in blonde. So very much a Fender look. It's very, very square, much like the Blues Junior.
Yep.
And it's got a power soak on it, so you can run it as low as 0.5 watts, right up to the full, I think it's 30.
30 watts, yeah.
That it runs up.
But you can run it, there's 0.5, I think 5, 15, and 30, which makes this an incredible recording amp, practice amp, and incredibly loud. I was shocked at like how loud it is, considering it's completely
solid state.
And... £379 on the shelf.
No, it's
£379, which makes it cheaper than a Blues Junior, more versatile than a Blues Junior. I'd say probably louder than a Blues Junior.
Direct recording out as well, which the Blues Junior doesn't
Unbelievable.
Have.
Unbelievable.
And we've got the effects loop.
Probably I didn't check.
It's Matt, you've probably got the spec about. There.
I don't actually. Okay. Oh, I haven't got it with me. Okay. But as far as I remember, it's pretty much
foot
the
switchable
same
as well. So two channel.
Yeah. Yeah. Same sort of features as you've got on the normal Blues Cube. I mean, it's going to be, for that money, it's going to be awesome. If I didn't already have a 70s jazz chorus, I would be buying one.
So I, about, about maybe 6 months ago, maybe not quite 6 months ago, around the time that I think it was around the time that I sold, we were talking a lot about me buying a new little amp.
Yeah.
And it was the first, I remember specifically, it was the first time on the podcast that I was like, oh, you know what? I've got all these cool amps. I think I just need to get something smaller. And I'm going to get one of these little Blackstar amps. We recorded that podcast, and the next morning, at about 8:30 in the morning, I had a phone call from one of the guys at Roland just saying, don't buy anything yet. Don't do it. We've got a thing.
We've got the thing
out.
That you need.
Got a thing coming out. Don't buy it yet. Don't buy it yet. And so I've had the hype build up. I've had the hype built up for ages and ages. And you've just hyped it up even more.
I can't believe how good it is.
Really,
it's going to be awesome.
How good it is.
I'm really, really excited because like I've really been like, you know what? I'm going to get one of these little black amps, and I've been saying it for ages, and I just haven't got around to doing it because I've kind of had this on the horizon. Yeah.
Well, this and, is and I will say to all our listeners, because I think we've talked a lot of people into Blues Juniors, word hasn't caught on of the Blues Cube just yet. Sell your Blues Juniors now. Sell them now.
Don't.
Because you need to buy one of these. It's better. It's just better. And it's the same money.
Having not heard one yet,
cheaper.
I'm struggling to believe that to be true, because the Blues Junior does sound great. But what is appealing, obviously, is that it's it's all solid state, so there's no messing around with valves. It can go down to, what is it,
point five of watt?
Yeah, that's half
great
a watt.
Great for home use.
For home use, ideal. Also, it's direct recording, USB recording as well in there.
I think what's great really about Roland is that they've you know, kind of nailed this analog circuit behaviour, that they're putting all the Aira stuff and like all their keyboards and like what's going in things like the Blues Cube, because it just perfectly almost models, you know, I think it's the closest to valve modeling that any, you know, thing like the Helix or anything gets to. You know, obviously it doesn't do as much, but in terms of like reacting like a proper amplifier.
Yeah, of course. Really, we saw Orange do this last year.
Has it got tone capsule inputs?
Yes, it will
as well.
Do. It will have a tone capsule addition as well. It bothered me too much. It's just a great sounding amp. Like I wouldn't need a sort of tone change for it, but crikey, I'm really appalled at how incredible it is.
Appalled at how good it is.
It's just too good. It's just blown everything else out of the water. There's no point in buying anything else this year.
So, couple new pedals from Boss, couple new compacts. First up, one that I know you're excited about, Joe. The VB2W.
I thought you were going to go. I should have gone with the other one.
But the other one is the oddest thing.
The other one is great.
I'm not going to go as far as to say the worst thing Boss have ever decided
it's not,
to release.
I've heard of CS3.
Hey,
CS3s are great. As is this the other new pedal.
But I haven't heard this yet.
The pedal that you almost hyped for.
Yeah.
The VB2W Wazacraft Vibrato.
Oh my.
Thanks very much, Juan Alderet. For lining Boss's pockets here.
Yeah, basically.
So, what's the history of the vibrato, Matt? Firstly, just tell us about the original one, and Joe, maybe you can say why this is so sought after. Matt, what's the deal with the originals?
I think the original came out in 1985.
Wrong,
if
82,
I remember
but
82.
Close. Yeah.
I knew
82
it was early,
to 86.
And it was a massive failure, because it was supposed to be, I think, for like guitarists, like mimicking vibrato, and sort of it had this like latching mode, and like no one really knew how to use it. Everyone plugged it in and went, this is a bit rubbish really. So it sort of faded into obscurity. And I remember, I was thinking about this when I was walking to work the other day. I remember about 5-6 years ago, someone bought one into the shop that I used to work in for part exchange. And I'd never really seen one. And there wasn't really much on eBay. And they certainly weren't the prices they're going for now. And I went, no, that's probably worth like 60 quid. So the guy just traded it in and bought something. And
you know how much they go for now?
Yeah, no, they're like 400 quid. Yeah. They're like the most expensive Boss pedal, considering that when I first really got into pedals, the one that was the most expensive and probably still up there is the Slow Gear, which is probably the worst pedal the Boss ever made. But
what was that one that you bought for like 350? The Spectrum.
The Spectrum. No, that, I only paid £110 for that.
That was one of the worst sounding pedals I've ever heard.
One Band EQ. Michael Schenker, he loved that pedal. the vibrato. It's because it's all analog, it's actually one of the best sounding vibrato pedals out there, because a lot of the digital ones almost have that really horrible like seasick quality to them. Like the pitch vibrato is so intense, it's almost unusable, where this is a lot more kind of natural. It sounds more like a broken, like a warped record.
Yes, exactly. That you can get a real tape sort of sound with
which is kind of what you want.
Yeah, absolutely. But it can go extreme as well, and definitely certainly on the new one, on the Wazzacraft version, because they've introduced the custom setting as well as the standard.
Yeah. So as with the other Wazza pedals, there's two actual circuits inside the pedal, the standard and custom. What do they so the standard is an actual recreation of the original pedal.
Yeah.
What does custom do on this one?
To be honest, custom does exactly the same thing that I found custom to on all the Wazzacraft pedals, which is basically just a more extreme version of the a slightly more dynamic 0 to 10. It goes through far more motions than the standard setting does, and exactly that, which was great for me, because I was when I was playing around with it, I was partnering it with quite a lot of reverb and then using it really extremely, and it was just great for sort of really proggy, really spacey sounds. I mean, it's the reason that Juan Alderete loves it so much that he owns two of the originals, is that it is such an odd sounding pedal, because I think no one did get it the first time around, because kind of they got it wrong. It wasn't really a very authentic sounding vibrato, and that was not what people were looking for at the time. But now
I was going to say, didn't it originally get kind of repackaged into the jazz chorus?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I didn't realise it was that way around. I thought it was the other way around.
The jazz chorus has got the chorus vibrato, which is the, obviously based... Well, that's what the C came from, happened to the CE1, was the chorus from the JC series. But the vibrato on the VB2 is very, very slightly different.
Right, okay.
To the chorus.
Okay. So in the last few years, the original VB2s have become very, very popular. So are we expecting this to be kind of hit, really?
I really do think sort of all like weird bands are going to jump at it. But okay. Yes, yeah, definitely. And also, I think that the real thing that they're obviously doing on a lot of the Wazzacraft pedals is that they've introduced on this one an expression out. Depth of the control. Yeah. Which
I think expression in, surely.
Yeah, expression in, yes.
I think the real thing that Boss are doing is they're just listening to what people want, and then they're going, actually, do you know what? These pedals are going for a ridiculous sum. We could definitely, remodel this. They're not just going, oh, we'll just reissue it. They are actually kind of thinking, what can we do to make it more modern? But, it's great to see all of these pedals that, to be honest, most people are never going to get a chance to play.
Sure. Absolutely. And I think that this is maybe, this alongside DM2W, isn't it? I think because the first few Wazzacraft pedals that came out, I'm not sure really people had, I'm not sure people's imagination were captured by. I think if you had listened to our podcast, and if you'd gone into a shop and spoken to a salesperson who was, very into them, then you would have gone like, oh yeah, actually this is great. I'll give this a go. I'm really into it. I'm not sure that the first run of Wazzacraft pedals really captured people's imagination.
Well, it was just the SD and the DS.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just think it was.
No, they were the X.
No, sorry, they were the X. There was the Blues Driver.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And ST2W, is that one?
And there was another one.
And DM2W.
Yeah.
It was the three pedals.
Did the DM come at the same time? But yeah, I don't think... I think other... I guess maybe... Okay, I thought the DM came out later, but I just... I felt like they didn't really get the appreciation that they possibly deserved.
I think that's... That is... correct about the delay, certainly. I think
I've had one for a while now, and I actually think it's better than a carbon copy.
Yeah, I recently got one and retired my carbon copy on account of it.
Really? Yeah, yeah. See, I tried one fairly recently and was really, really into it, and I think I didn't give those pedals the time that they needed. And hopefully the vibrato is going to sort of reinvigorate the... that W suffix a little bit and get people a little bit excited about them.
I think for the first time in a long time, you could have an all Boss pedal board and it would be very, very credible.
Don't go down that route.
No, but you could. You totally. Yeah, I mean, there's obviously there's hundreds of boutique manufacturers, but you could have an all Boss board and you'd have some really, really good single compact effects.
Yeah.
And I don't think that was the case even 2-3 years ago when we were talking about things like the ME80 kind of being the saviour of Boss.
Yeah.
They've kind of gone completely the other way and gone,
yeah, absolutely.
Oh yeah, do you remember all those cool old effects we used to do? Let's just do them again. They're really, really good. So
they don't do reissues, mate.
They don't do reissues. That's why it's Wirzecraft.
Yeah,
and it's not just a VB2 because it's the, you know, there's the two circuits.
Absolutely.
They like to push the envelope slightly.
Yeah.
So last of the compact. There's of the new guitar.
Oh god.
Compact pedals.
Well, is it a guitar compact pedal?
It is. The VO1, the Boss Vocoder.
I can't wait.
For all you Bon Jovi fans out there, and it's pink.
Yeah, but Bon Jovi was a talk box, not a vocoder. Vocoder is like...
Sorry, Kanye West fans out there.
Yeah, I'm
into man,
it.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be really good. So, Matt,
the thing is, Joe, you didn't demo it with a microphone. You just plugged your bass into it, and it's not going to work.
And it didn't.
give us the lowdown, Matt.
So, as far as I can tell, compact-sized vocoder, probably the only one out on the market. I don't think any other company's done something that sort of size for a vocoder.
First ever Boss pedal with an XLR in.
First compact pedal with an XLR in.
Yeah, compact pedal, sorry, yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't do that on the bass preamp, did they?
No, they did.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
That would have had to be an out, though.
Yeah, true.
So, anyway, XLR input.
Yeah, XLR input, guitar input, and then you sound like... I'm trying to think of a really classic example. You probably just sound like Daft Punk.
Yeah.
Or Kraftwerk.
So, four different modes, from what I understand. There is just a vocoder, like a retro-style vocoder.
Yeah.
I think there's one called the Advance vocoder. There is...
Yeah, no, I can't remember all the modes on it.
Yeah, there's... There's another one, like almost like a humanizer mode, I think. And then the last one is choir mode, where you don't have to plug a mic in, and it'll do like some auto vocoding just based on your guitar signal.
I tell you, the best thing about this pedal is going to be our demo.
Yes. So we're getting these pedals next week for Matt to do some demos on them.
Oh God, I'm dreading it, and also it's just going to be hilarious.
I think
because I can't sing, but it's going to just be hilarious to try and demo it.
I think what we should do is,
Mark, you said you were doing this.
Well, demo. I don't know. I think maybe me and Matt will sit in both on the demo, and we'll just try and get the best out of it. Basically, we'll see where we get to, but it's going to be fun. I think that's going to be super fun.
My neighbours are going to freak out.
They are. Well, when they're hearing Transformers Robots in Disguise at 9 o'clock in the morning, we'll see where we get to. So yeah, the VO1 I think is going to be a whole lot of fun. It's bright pink as well, so you know that always appeals to us here at Guitar Nerds.
Yeah.
One last compact pedal from Boss. Joe, do you want to tell us about it?
One more amp as well.
There is one more amp as well. Tell us about the last compact pedal.
The last compact pedal is my signature pedal with Boss. Yep. Can you guess what it is?
The JB1.
It is the JB1, yes. But what does it do?
As compressor.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bass compressor. Go on.
We have ruined the illusion.
So, bass compressor.
It's a bass compressor.
What's the actual designation of it?
Oh, mate, I don't know. A BSBC1. BS I know.
But that, funny enough, that was the first thing that I thought. I was like, bass compression. No, I was like, wait, no. BC. Compression doesn't start with an S.
Yeah, the BS1.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. Probably the BC1. Who
I
knows?
I believe it is. I've written this up for the website already, and there's been so much new gear that I've forgotten what it's actually called. It's called the Bass Comp.
So it's
and I think it's
idea.
BC1.
Yeah, it's exactly what they
need to do for... It's called BC1X.
Oh, of course, because it is an X. Yes, it's got the chrome control cover, just like they did with the preamp with the bass driver.
Yeah.
So yeah, exactly what they need to do as those are the two effects, aren't they? Really, the sort of preamp drive pedal and the compressor. Those are the two things that bass players buy.
If it's the X series, does it feature the MDP, the multi-dimensional?
It does. Right, yeah. It does, and
which is quite cool because that literally adds different levels of compression depending on how hard.
Exactly.
And whereabouts you play your bass.
Yeah. It's doing multi-band compression. It's also got a gain reduction indicator on it as well. So, you know, like when you hit the string, you know how hard it's compressing, and that can obviously be shaped.
Yeah, really good. Basically, Boss have bought an MXR bass compressor.
Kind of, yeah. It's got similarities to some of the MXR stuff. I think it's going to be really good. And again,
they've sort of nailed it, really. I just think they're on a roll at the moment.
Yeah, they are.
Absolutely. Well, the MXR bass compressor is hands down the most popular bass compressor on the market at the moment. It's £200. The Boss one is going to be slightly less. And it's made by Boss, which just, you know, just assures a level of quality that no other brand can rival. So, yeah, I think what we're looking at here is the future most successful bass compressor.
I think
out
the MDP makes a difference there because it is doing some clever stuff with multi-band compression. So very exciting. One last thing from Boss Roland. The Waza amplifier.
Whoa, I just saw how long we are into this.
I know,
podcast.
We're 44 minutes in, and
we're
done
on the
one
first
brand.
Line of 15 products.
Yeah, well, that's all right. We can talk.
15 brands.
There's a bit more to talk through. So the Waza amplifier. Have either of you seen this in the flesh?
No, Jay. No. You saw it earlier. What did you think?
I don't know who they're aiming this at.
Boogie?
are
you
people...
okay? You sound like you're dying.
Yeah, sorry. I'm fine. I'm
okay,
fine.
Good.
Jay's dying with excitement.
With excitement
for
this
Waza
aircraft. I don't really know who they're aiming this at is the issue because it's what? 150 watt solid state.
Yep.
Multiple
channels. Multiple
channels, which as... You know, Marshall have proven with the JVM stuff isn't hugely popular.
Well, you say that, but a lot of people say a lot of good things about JVMs.
Yeah. I think they're going for... I mean, the thing is that there's not many pro players out there that use solid state, and I think they're really just trying to just break into it and basically see.
I suppose solid state... I guess... I mean, I'm thinking of...
You know, they got Eric Johnson using the Blues Cube, and I mean, you know, he's someone that is, like, renowned for being so picky about all of the amps that he uses, yet, you know, he developed something alongside this Blues Cube, and I think there's going to be other artists that are going to kind of fall into this, and I think you're going to start seeing a lot more of these sort of things. I must admit,
well,
you know, it's not going to be
cheap.
I don't know if we can talk about the artist
yet.
Oh,
can't we?
No,
okay.
I'm not sure about that. But yeah, it's not cheap, is it? We're talking what, around £2,000 for the head?
I think it's about £2,000.
Is that for the head and the 412? Because there's the head, and there's like 212 cabs and a 412 cab available.
I think it might just be for the head. So
okay,
it might be
fine.
Fairly expensive, but
I don't think there's a 212. I think it's just a 412.
No, there's definitely smaller cabs as well.
Okay.
I just think, I don't know, I think it's going to sound really good.
Yes.
I think it's going to sound really, really good. And I actually think, you know, if like the little Blues Cube Hot is anything to go by, I think this thing's going to be pretty rocking.
It's not Roland, you know, though. It's not Roland. It's Boss.
Is
but
it?
The thing is, it's a
Boss.
Lot.
It's Boss Wazercraft.
You've got to convince someone, you know.
Absolutely, and that's
you've got to convince people to try it, because you know so many people buy things just on price or by the brands they know, and to kind of get someone to spend nearly £2,000 on a solid state, albeit handmade amplifier.
Absolutely, and that's what I'm confused about. I don't really know where this is going.
It's not clearly. We can see where every single product came from, I think.
Yeah.
Except for this one.
Well, I think it's one of those things we'll wait and see. You know, someone might just pick it up and it becomes the next hottest thing. But yeah, I agree. This is the one that doesn't have the clear market yet. But we'll see. You know, people have kind of dropped off of buying things like Boogies, I think, in the volumes they were. And, you know, there's still people who need multi-channel, big, you know, loud stage amplifiers. So it'll be interesting to see who they pick up artist-wise and where they pitch it, really.
I mean, the thing is, if we'd have done this podcast in 1977...
That would have been amazing, because podcasts were not invented for, like, another 30 years.
If we were talking about, you know, the jazz chorus at a time where, you know, Marshall and Fender, especially Marshall, kind of reigned supreme in terms of amplifiers, and people were like using 50 and 100 watt heads, and then they were like, oh, here's a 120 watt solid state stereo combo. You know, were people thinking the same thing at that time? Because they would have been probably nearly £1,000.
It's a good point, but we're not at a stage where this hasn't happened. This is now, we've done this cycle and come back around to.
Yeah, but maybe we're coming back around again.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time to get your
say your bit.
All of this has happened before, and all of this will happen again.
And with that, maybe we should move on to a different brand. Who wants to hear about new stuff from MXR, Way Huge, and Dunlop?
Yeah.
So,
no, I'm all right. Should we move on?
No. So, a whole load of new releases from the MXR, Way Huge, Dunlop stable. They're all essentially the same company, but they've different branding. Loads of new pedals, obviously. First up, should we do the MXR stuff?
Yeah,
first?
I was going to say, why don't you just read it all off and then we can.
Okay, so
we can pick and choose the best bits.
Okay, so the new pedals announced today: MXR Reverb, the MXR Studio Compressor, the Dunlop Bass Crybaby Mini, the Echoplex Delay, and a Tap Tempo pedal, and last off from Way Huge, the Overrated Special.
So, MXR.
Oh, and one thing for Joe that I just spotted.
Really?
Flat wound bass strings.
Yeah.
There we go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
thanks,
they're doing Dunlop. Flat wound bass strings. So, yeah, MXR have never done a reverb.
Really?
That's bonkers, isn't it? I was thinking that when I read it. It's just called the reverb.
It's just called the reverb.
Surely it needs to have a suffix.
No, they've never done one before.
Wow.
And so I'm really, really intrigued to see how this is going to sound. I hope that we're going to be losing our minds over this like we did when we first heard do you remember how exciting it was the first time you heard a Carbon Copy?
Totally.
Yeah.
I seem to remember that when they first came in, myself, Mark and Matt were all in the shop at the same time. We just went, and Matt just plugged it in, and we were just like, what's,
did you just do a dive bomb on it?
What's happened? Like, what is this? And it was just incredible, and I really hope that we're going to get that wow factor with the reverb, because it looks a bit boring. Because I think it's just like a plain black pedal.
Well, that's when they do their more sort of studio focused stuff. It's the same with the studio compressor, actually. It's really kind of muted in terms of how it looks. It's not out there like the Carbon Copy or the Carbon Copy Bright or some of the other brighter pedals they do, or I should say more extravagant pedals they do. But you just know it's going to work.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm really excited for this. I think it's going to be good.
My favourite feature on it is that you can plug an expression pedal in, and then the expression pedal goes can go between two different like configurations in terms of like by the looks of it, in terms of actual
frequency range.
What do you call it? No, in terms of actually like spring to plate.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay.
You can actually go. You can actually cycle through it, or you can change it in real time, which is quite cool.
Wow.
Yeah, so I think there's going to be some cool features with that, and it's got all the pad things like shimmer and stuff like that. But the thing I was just reading here is they're kind of going with this massive thing they've called constant headroom technology.
Sweet.
Which basically gives it like it runs the pedal at 20 volts internally, so it stays super clean. So you don't get any kind of digital clipping at the top end if you run too much gain into it.
So I guess if you're running things like the shimmer effect and things like that, they're going to be very kind of hi-fi, very studio sounding.
Yeah, basically really, really detailed, which is what you tend to lose a lot of the time on some things where they don't have that, and you kind of lose a lot of the detail in the top end.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's very, very cool.
And the studio compressor, again, is kind of feature-packed, isn't it? From what I can remember, there's like some different... kind of types of compression.
Yeah, I think is it. I'm assuming they've kind of based it a lot on the bass one.
Yes.
But yeah, once again, it's got this constant headroom technology as well, which is really good for compression because it leaves all the detail in. It doesn't, you know, doesn't squash everything and kind of just make a, you know, not things sound flat, but you know, sometimes you stick a compressor on and everything can kind of sound a bit samey, where this I think is going to, you know, it's going to give you more sustain, it's going to give you richness and depth while still kind of, you know, not losing a lot of the dynamics you'd normally get from a really like squashy compressor.
Yeah, I think neither of these pedals are going to be, I mean, I think the reverb is going to be very lush sounding, but I don't think either of them are going to be particularly flashy, but they're going to be super useful. And that's kind of a lot of the MXR range. There's a few bits that kind of stick out a little bit and a little bit more kind of obvious, but more, and particularly the studio compressor, just a really good tool to have in your arsenal, just like really good thing to have on the pedal board. Joe Branton, how excited are you for a mini Crybaby for bass?
Absolutely not at all. That's in any way, shape, or form.
That's because...
Oh, I reckon it'll be good.
Can you imagine Joe standing still long enough to actually use a wah on stage?
Can you imagine a bass player using a manual wah?
Yes. They use it.
Loads of people.
Manual. Because this is spring-loaded in the same way as the standard Crybaby bass wah is. So, like, people still like them. I mean,
those people are dumb.
I don't really get it, but, like, it's good that they're doing it. I mean, I said
I could
good.
Forgive it's, an auto wah, but, like, a manual wah, like, why would you need it? That's not how we play bass. Like, you don't need it to... You don't need it to sweep slowly through. You just need it to articulate on your note. And that's so there's no point in a manual wah for bass. I've never got that.
I don't see there being
what about
any
you in a
point
Metallica
at all.
Tribute band?
But I don't see there being any point at all for
bass pedals for wah
on bass. And so, like, you know, whereas you're using your auto wah and you're like, oh, no, yeah, listen to how cool this is. I'm just thinking that sounds rubbish. There are people that use it and they are very popular.
I bought an auto wah off of Mark, actually.
Yeah. It was good.
So weird.
It's in the bottom of a box somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. I think that this actually is going to do more numbers than you think. Mm-hmm. From working in a bass department in a shop for a long time, we used to sell way more of the Crybaby bass wires than we could actually ever get hold of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember working in the bass department and selling loads of those as well. I remember spitting in the boxes as well.
Very nice. So I think the mini one, as we've seen with the mini Crybaby for guitar, is going to be super popular.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it brings it down to, you know, you're not giving up so much space on your pedal board. The functionality is really good.
They're probably still only going to be 65 quid?
Something like, well, the bass stuff's generally always been a little bit more, but
it'll probably
be sub 100 quid, I'd imagine.
Right,
something
okay.
like that.
Yeah,
so, yeah. And they're in white, as with all the bass wires. Looks cool on your board.
Yeah.
Matt Knight, tell me about the Echoplex Delay and the companion pedal, the Tap Tempo. This looks so good.
Yeah, I mean, the Tap Tempo, first of all, is a kind of nice non-latching mini box for Tap Tempo. It's going to work with, you know, anything with a Tap Tempo input, basically. It's kind of similar size to the Strymon Favorite Switch, but, you know, it's going to be roadworthy. It's going to be cool. You know, nice little extra bit. But the Echoplex Delay is going to be... Oh, it's going to be so good.
I just want
it's
one, really.
It's going to be so good.
I want one.
The thing I was reading, I was like, oh, it's cool. It's going to be based on the Echoplex. It's going to be a bit more tape heavy, so it's not going to sound like a carbon copy. But the thing that I love is that when you push the volume control in, it basically engages the Echoplex preamp. So the more you turn it up, the more distortion and kind of tape aging it adds. It's going to sound so good.
Does this mean I can, ditch my Echoplex preamp now, or do I need that as well?
I mean, I was just sort of having a read on the website, and it says, yeah, basically the volume knob, if you push it in, it lets you virtually age the repeats, darkening the tone and upping the tape saturation as you increase modulation and tape distress. So I think it's kind of, you could probably still use both, but I reckon the Echoplex Delay would be something that you could probably leave on, turn the kind of volume down, turn the tape aging up, and then kind of it sit low in the mix and leave it on like all the time.
It's almost kind of filling the gap of like a deco, I guess, because it's doing that preamp tape delay type thing.
And it, once again, they've gone for this kind of headroom technology. So, you know, I think if you want to go for true bypass or something like that, it's going to be a nice, brilliant sounding tape delay. And then if you add the tape aging in with trails, it's just going to be this kind of awesome vintage, like, echo machine. You know, I think it's going to be another contender for better than a carbon copy. And Dunlop already make the carbon copy, so they're kind of just sort of...
No, M&T make the carbon copy.
Well, it's, you know, yeah, it's part of the same thing.
I know.
In fact, actually, I've got a feeling potentially the same designer. I'm not 100%, because I know George Tripps, who obviously does Way Huge, designed the carbon copy. And I know he had a hand in the Echoplex, so I don't know if potentially...
The original Echoplex.
Yeah, when he was like...
I don't know how old George Tripps is.
George Tripps, in his probably 40s.
He was
making the Way Huge stuff in the early 90s. Before ZVEX kind of really did anything. He was like one of the original boutique
pedal.
Before boutique pedals was even a concept, I think. Right. And yeah, he sort of retired, and then obviously Dunlop/MXR sort of brought him out of retirement to kind of design a load of new stuff. And then that's how all of the new Way Huge stuff has come about.
Well, that segues nicely into...
Do you want to do that?
It segues really nicely into talking about the new Way Huge pedal.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did need to talk about that, yeah.
Yeah. Why, were you going to go into something else entirely?
No, I was just going to say that after this pedal, I feel that we should do... I'm looking down the list seeing how many more pedals we've got. I think we should bump up something that's
There's not much more.
I also realised Mark did add the same pedal twice onto that list. So,
really?
And the pedal that we're about to talk about, yeah.
Oh, yeah, so I did. So that's because they did a teaser yesterday and then they put all the stuff up today. So, the Way Huge Overrated Special.
What a name.
Matt
what
Knight,
a
name. Mystic Future Seer, Dumble Clone Predictor, Matthew Knight. Tell us about the Overrated Special.
One thing I didn't realise, that it was especially designed for Joe Bonamassa.
Yes, so apparently he's...
Wasn't it?
He's been
in conjunction with...
Yeah, he's been using it live for a while.
Right,
so.
Okay.
Yeah. And in fact, wasn't there ages ago, when we... Back in the old days when we did some Joe Bonamassa videos, didn't he have an unmarked pedal box on his pedal board?
I wasn't there, but
I think so.
I'm almost certain I remember there being like this like mystery pedal and they wouldn't talk about it. Perhaps it was that. I imagine he's probably had one for a long time. I mean, the font gives it away, the name sort of gives it away. Yes, it's basically a Dumble style pedal, which, you know, I think we all saw coming, really. We knew that everyone's kind of done something clone, so now it's time to do something Dumble. And yeah, I think he's saying that he's kind of taken a really old version of his Green White Rhino Overdrive and then hot rodded it and made it sound more like an amp. But Joe Bonamassa's used Dumbles in his live rig for ages, so it's kind of something that you can run into a clean amp, run into a distorted amp. It's, I think it's going to be, you know, really transparent sounding, so it's just going to work with any amplifier, really.
Yeah, I think so. And like you say, I think there'll be a lot more coming down the pipe. Yeah. Maybe even released tomorrow when NAMM actually opens.
Yeah, potentially.
We'll learn some
it's
more.
It's going to be a good unit. It's going to be really good.
It really is the most self-aware name.
The overrated special is just genius.
Yeah, I mean, it's genius.
It's brilliant, isn't it? I really have the, like, I've got this vision of the marketing department or something, and they've gone... they've gone in with like a bunch of names, and one of them is just Overrated Special, and they've all had a good laugh about it, and then they've gone,
oh,
someone's just gone like, do you reckon we can get away with it? And it like the person at the top's gone, no, we can't do it, and then like they've just been argued. I reckon that's what's happened. I think it's such a brilliant name.
What's probably actually happened is George Trips has gone, I want to call it this. And they've gone, yeah, I guess. And then that's what's happened. That's how it's come out.
The thing that I like is on the Klon KTR, because obviously it's designed by the, you know, the guy that designed the original Klon. On the front of the box, it says, kindly remember, the ridiculous hype that affects so many is not of my making.
Yeah.
Which I just think is brilliant, because it's like, you know, he's not making any money out of Klons that are selling for 1,500 quid. You know, he's just like, it's funny because him himself doesn't really believe in it. Just like, you know, it's an overdrive pedal.
Well, this we'll have to wait and see how this sounds. I would imagine, like you say, it's going to sound pretty good. So, some new stuff from Electro-Harmonix. Last week, did we talk about the crash pad and the Super Space Drum?
No, I think
we talked about the Leicester G and the Leicester K, didn't we?
This is this week's release.
Yeah, but there's four new pedals this week.
I mean, this is NAMM.
Thing is, NAMM is coming up, but this is like every week now. There's four new Electro-Harmonix pedals.
I saw the crash pad today.
Oh really?
A real
life one?
Yeah, a real life one, and it is so usable. It's brilliant.
Really? Okay.
What is a crash pad?
Well, it's like a space drum
instead of being like the tom or kick sound. It's like a crash cymbal.
Oh,
so it works on a white noise generator, where the super space drum works on a an oscillator, like that self oscillates effectively. Analog drums, basically analog drum machines.
Yeah,
we've spoken about the space so drum good. Loads of times on the podcast.
Yeah, but it's an actual reissue.
Oh, I know that. I'm saying. That's what I meant. Like how great that we're actually getting them back.
I think if you've not yet seen the marketing video that EHX have put out, it's really really worth watching. It's not very long. I mean, it's like, I think it's maybe 15 minutes long or something like that, and it's really worth a watch, because they show, I mean, they show it in all its like pure, like proper Electro-Harmonix self-indulgence glory.
Yeah,
you know, they've got that, you know, at one point they've got four space drums. No, they've got two space drums and two crash pads plugged into an EHX Clockworks.
Yeah.
You know, just all triggering itself and then running off into an amp. And it sounds amazing. Like, really, really astonishing pedal. The conversation that Mark and I had off air when we first... Because I think we read about this on the train together. Yeah. And we were just both going, like, this is cool. Like, Matty, so you've seen the actual chassis, like,
yeah.
Do you think, is it going to be durable enough for you to tread on?
Plastic.
Yeah,
that's
more like 100%.
Really?
100%, wow. Yeah. I mean, the great thing is that you could potentially have this on a pedal board and then slam into
it. Like, kick on it and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and it would be fine. And because it's got an auxiliary input, But what it does is it sends the audio through the oscillator. So I don't think it's like a through, which I think is a slight shame, because it would have been quite cool for the sound to always just go through. But then when you hit the drum, it gives off the bass drum sound.
Okay,
That would be quite cool, which I don't think it kind of does that.
Well,
what if you could put it in the effects loop of something, though?
I don't know. I'm super tempted to try and borrow one and see what sort of weirdness.
So you buy an ES5 and then you run the space drum into one of the loops.
Yeah, maybe.
But only through the in, because you don't need any signal to come from the ES5. You just have it coming into the loop. And then you just don't use any other pedals, ever.
Ever.
So they obviously are super weird. There's two slightly more usable pedals announced for NAMM. First up, the Soul Pog, which I think is the best name ever, because I don't know.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Everyone loves Pogs, both the pedal and the cardboard bottle caps.
And the Soul Preacher, the other half of this pedal, yeah?
No. The Soul Food.
Oh, sorry. Right.
So this is a much like they did with the Turnip Greens last year. We now have a combination of the Soul Food and the, I guess it's the Micro Pog, isn't it? Because it's the it's the octave up and octave down. So two pedals that I guess probably work quite well together in one box.
Well, certainly two of the most popular EHX pedals.
Yeah. So there's nothing really fancy about it. It is literally like they've soldered the two together, but there's a switch.
Well, there's a couple of extra little features that I think are actually quite cool.
Okay.
Send and return, so you can put other effects in it. You can change the order, which is quite nice.
Yeah.
It's still got the effect out, so you can still run the POG into a separate amplifier.
Yeah.
But also you can change the way the octaves work. So there's like two modes, and I think one is more like a vintage octaver that adds the octave up only, and then one is a more kind of sort of more modern octave up, so it tracks much better. So at least, because I thought when I first saw it, I was like, if they've just put a POG and a Soul Food together, that is just silly. But they've actually added a couple of extra features, which hopefully will set it apart. I think they're two pedals that actually work very, very well together.
So with the effects loop, so I didn't realise there was an effects loop in there. With the effects loop, will that run in between the two pedals?
It does, yeah. It runs between the Soul Food and the Nano Pog.
So depending on which way you've got the signal moving, so if you've got it running drive to octave, you can put stuff in there. Oh, okay, that's very cool.
Then it means that you'll add drive to, say for example, a delay, and then you'll add delay to the octaves.
Yeah.
Or you could have octave and then delay it and then distort it.
Yeah.
So yeah, you could get some quite weird combinations.
That's very cool. That's very cool. And I think we could probably do an entire podcast on
how to integrate
like two or three pedals you'd like to see electroharmonics put into one, because I mean they've done a bunch. They did the Tone Tattoo, they did the
so
Epitome
weird.
They've done a bunch that were like you know, they've taken two or three of their existing pedals and put them into one box, one chassis.
Definitely.
So that's really cool. I'm really excited for this. I think that's very, very neat.
So one last pedal from Electroharmonics. Joe Branton, tell us about the Bass Preacher.
Hey, well, it's another bass compressor.
Yeah,
but
so that's what is that? The, oh, it's not the third
no,
one because the
two,
studio
the,
compressor,
the third compressor that's been released. But really interesting.
Okay.
Maybe the most interesting.
Okay, why?
Not that it's not the best. I do think Boss are going to have the best one. But the first company that have kind of made a compressor for bass guitarists who aren't in funk bands, in that, like, it's a complete rock pedal. It's
both of you are going to really enjoy that then.
it's a bass compressor that there seems to be a fad for. It's certainly with the MXR bass compressor, and now with Boss One, and with a lot of other bass specific ones. It's like, how many controls can you put on a compressor? How much can you make this like a studio compression experience? And if you want like simple compression as a bass player, if you don't want multiband, if you just want old school compression, you've got to go for something old school. You've got to go for a Dynacomp or a CS3 or something like that. Something that's not designed for the broad spectrum of frequencies that is bass guitar. And that's exactly what Electroharmonics have created here. So it's very simple. All you have is volume and sustain. Sustain is the amount of your compression. And volume is obvious. And then it has a toggle switch between slow, medium, and fast, and that's the attack speed, which, of course, everything has an attack knob. This just deals with the three presets that everyone wants, whether they want that compression to come in right away, whether they want it to swell in. It just makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
So it's a really easy to use, really quick to get a different sort of palette of sounds, and it's specific to bass. So it's the first time a bass player's had access to what is essentially a Dynacomp for bass. So a hassle-free compressor.
Yep. I think Electromonix kind of do it right again. It's in the kind of nano chassis.
Yeah, exactly. And also it looks like it's going to hit the shelves at, what, 70 quid, something like that, maybe less.
Ridiculous.
60, 70 quid, which will make it like the cheapest bass-specific compressor by a long way.
So what Electromonix are doing essentially is going, yeah, if you bought all our pedals, it will be about the same cost as if you bought any other company's entire range, but they're all really cheap, but there are just a lot of them. So if you want to collect them all, you'll spend about the same. So, chaps, I think we're a bit of an impasse with the podcast because we're running super long. We've done an hour and 10 minutes. There's loads more news.
Oh, there's so much more.
So,
but if we talk about this next week, it's going to be old news.
But, you know, we'll get our hot take on it. We'll get our hot spin on the news.
I disagree.
So
things might change.
More. There's going to be loads more, though.
I know there is, but what I'm saying is bumper.
No, but we haven't mentioned the best thing.
There's too much stuff. So we can mention maybe one more thing from the news, and then we've got a choice. Do we answer some questions in this week's Patreon? Do we do more NAMM coverage, or do we save the NAMM coverage for next week? What do you want to do?
I would really like to talk about one other thing, and then I don't care what we do.
Oh, no. What's your one other thing? Because I've got one other thing.
Is it the power supplies?
I don't want to talk about...
No, supplies. We
can't talk about any more pedals.
We should round up on the power supplies, I think, because I think that is some of the most interesting news.
Oh, that is unbelievable.
I think...
Can I quickly mention the amazing thing?
What do you want to do? Matt, do you want to do questions or more NAMM news in the Patreon episode?
I think... The only thing is I know a lot of people sometimes if we answer their questions in the Patreon, they're kind of maybe, you know, they want to hear it in the full podcast. So I think maybe we should do more NAMM coverage.
Okay.
And then potentially, I don't know, potentially we'll do loads more questions next week, maybe.
Jay Cross.
We'll do more NAMM next week.
Let's do NAMM in the Patreon.
We can do questions all year long.
Okay, fine. So let's do one more bit of news in this episode. Matt, I know that you're chomping at the bit to tell us about the Strymon Zuma and Ojai power supplies.
Ouija?
It's not Ouija. That's what I thought.
Of all the releases, of all the things released at NAMM, and we've got the choice to talk about one more thing, and you're going to talk about power supplies. Do you know how many people just stopped listening
now?
No, I agree with him.
I'm more excited than I've been for the last hour and 10 minutes.
All right.
I love power supplies. I think that's because you've had
two gin and tonics.
Well, I mean, there is that.
I mean, I'm putting it out there. I did predict this when someone said, oh, it looks like Strymon doing something new. I went, I bet you it's a power supply and a Euro rack module. And lo and behold, it's a power supply.
It's two power supplies and a Euro rack.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us about the power supplies, because they haven't actually released any details of the Eurorack module yet, apart from the fact that it's probably going to be called the Generalissimo.
Yeah.
Which leads me to think...
I think it's genius.
I think it's going to be like a multi-effect, surely. That's what that name suggests to me.
I don't know. I just think... not many of us are into modular synthesis, so... I think we're into modular synthesis. We just don't buy into modular synthesis.
Is it modular synthesis though, or is it? Could it just?
Yeah, that's what Eurorack is. Eurorack is a more. It's like now the general size for modules that go into modular synthesizers.
Okay, I thought 19-inch Eurorack was just like 19-inch racking.
Eurorack is
Okay, so tell us about the power supplies.
You need to watch
power supplies,
I Dream of Wires.
I do.
Oh, but the power supply, I was like, really, what could they do with a power supply? And I was like, well, I suppose their power supplies have to power their pedals. It'd be silly if they made a power supply that didn't work with their pedals.
Yeah.
But then I was thinking, but if they make a power supply, what limits all other power supplies? You know, what happens when you reach the maximum? You know, what can you do? And this is what they've solved. They've made two power supplies, a big one and a small one. The big one has 9 9-volt outputs that are all 500 milliamp, so way more powerful than anything else on the market that's like a power brick. So it'll power 9 timelines, which they kindly put in a photo, which I thought was brilliant.
So good, so cool.
And then the small one is 500 milliamp outputs, but the genius thing is you can chain as many power supplies together as you want.
Yes, I saw that. So
without... Without losing an output.
They've got 24 volt output, haven't they?
Yeah. So basically, they've created their own dedicated output that allows you to daisy chain power supplies and effectively power as many bits as you want. And Joe just
sat back down after getting up and hit himself in the face with his own headphones. This is what we're dealing with. We are recording this a bit later than normal, but there is absolutely no excuse for you hitting yourself in your own face with some headphones. So shocked by the proprietary 24 volt output was Joe Branton. That he mashed his own headphones into his face.
I think it's big because a lot of people going, I'll never be able to afford it, but I think they're going to market the big one at $250 and the smaller one at $150.
It doesn't seem that unreasonable.
It doesn't seem like that much money at all, considering that, you know, you're looking at what, £179 for a Voodoo Labs, and that doesn't do anywhere near the power, you know, because people are running three Strymon pedals, you know, potentially an ES8. That's 400 or 500 outvolt outputs you need.
Yeah.
And the only thing that you can get is the Voodoo Labs 4x4. And then you've still only, you know, if you expand on that, what more can you do? If you've got then put an H9 on there or whatever, you know. So it's really for kind of the people out there that have got ridiculous pedal boards. And it's the only way to power it.
It's worth mentioning there's kind of cross compatibility between the supplies. So if you buy the Zoomer thinking, that's enough outputs for me, you can also, and then you run out, you can buy the smaller one and daisy chain those together.
Yeah, or you can just buy like four of the smaller ones and daisy chain them together. So it kind of works in like loads of different ways. And obviously a couple of the outputs switchable to 12 volt. You know, they haven't bothered about voltage sag or anything like that. They've just kind of gone, look, we want clean, consistent, high powered outputs. So 500 milliamps, I don't think there's anything that wouldn't power off that.
No, it's very, very impressive. And I think that is why it's interesting, in that people have been trying to crack this for ages, and it kind
of... Year of the year.
It also kind of speaks volumes about how the pedal industry's changed, in that 5 to 10 years ago, you were buying like the ones from Maplin's that cost £25, and they had, you got 10 9-volt outputs, and they sounded awful. And now we're talking about something potentially where you've got, you know, multiple, you can connect multiple modules together and you're getting clean isolated outputs.
I suppose the only thing that is similar is, you know, the gig rig modular stuff, and it's way more expensive.
Sure.
So this is potentially, you know, I think even if they came into the UK at £250, I don't think that is too much money for someone to spend if they're buying all three Strymon pedals at nearly £1,000.
Sure. And it's the only supplier that will do that, so
yeah.
Good stuff. All right, well, we're going to cover the rest of the news over in the Patreon episode. We're going to be talking about the new Vox AV series, the AC heads and cabs, the new Starstream guitar that I know Joe Branton's got some words about, 8 new pedals from Earthquaker, and maybe we'll do some questions as well, but we probably won't have time. There's too much to talk about. So,
no time.
If you want to hear that, head over to patreon.com/guitar nerds, where from as little as $5 a month, you get access to an extra half an hour of this podcast every week, plus some upcoming bonuses that we've yet to work out what we're doing. As these people have, from $10 a month, you become the executive producer, as these people have.
Phil Thompson, Colin Anderson, Scott O'Brien, Moog Gravitt, Fletch Fletcher, Matt Kwan, Jack Conroy, Chris Wilson, Will Clare, Dale Rasko, Jack Godfrey, Paul Corrigan, Eric Seary.
Creepiest one you've ever done.
Really?
So
yeah,
bad.
That was awful. It actually made me feel a bit weird.
Yeah, me too. Not in a good way. Thanks so much for listening this week. Do join us over on the Patreon for the full NAMM roundup, or not the full NAMM roundup, from the stuff that's come out before NAMM's even started. Get a full load by going to patreon.com/guitar nerds. We've talked for an hour and 20 minutes and we've not even covered the things that have come out before NAMM has started. So God knows what next week is going to be like when NAMM's actually happened. Crazy. Too much gear. If you want to keep up to date with everything, head over to the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. Do go over to the site where we'll be posting news about everything, guitarnerds.net. You can follow us on Twitter, at Guitar Nerds. You can follow us on Periscope at Guitar Nerds. You can go to YouTube, where we'll be demoing some of this stuff in the upcoming weeks. Follow me on Twitter at @Mark_Random. You can follow Matt at @Matt_Nightsy. Follow Jay at @JayBM1 and Joe at @Joseph_900. Thanks so much. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Ta-ra.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.